start the meeting. Please join us in reciting the Lord's Prayer, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. I would like to call this meeting to order regular session Monday, April the 10th, 2017. Before I start, I would like to say that our mayor is under the weather tonight. That's the reason he's not here, so you're stuck with me. Okay. All council members are present. As I said, our mayor is under the weather. Also present tonight is our town administrator, Laura Allen, our town attorney, Dave Gaskell. We also have our finance director, Natalie Shalom-Savay. Administrative service director, Mary Bolden. Electric department head, Tim Lawrence. Police lieutenant, Robert Fisher. Our planning director, Dave Englehart. Economic and community development, Ivory Wells. And managing director, Jeff Fleetwood. And I would like to say that our chief is recuperating pretty good. I saw him in church on Sunday. So he's coming along pretty good. Okay, we'll move on to the agenda. Executive session on 3/27/17. Can I hear a motion that we approve that session?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, it's been a motion to approve. Second, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Okay, we on the third, on March the 27th. We had an executive meeting, and under a written statement for closing a meeting under the Open Meeting Act 3-305 regarding a personal matter. 3-305 to consult with legal counsel. We held our executive meeting under those guidelines. We also have a regular meeting of March the 27th. Can I hear a motion that we'll accept those minutes?
Vice President, we've got one change on page 4 of 6. Minutes. Second line up from the bottom states that 8 vehicles were stolen from. The stolen from should be replaced with broken into. However, with that change noted, I move that we approve.
Okay, with the change, Councilmember Bouyas has stated the motion, the minutes have been approved. Second, All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
If I could just confirm, who was the second on the motion?
I'll be the second.
Thank you.
Okay, first on your agenda, or second on your agenda, is a request for funding in the Cricket Center, or is anybody here?
Yep.
Is this Wendy Myers?
Hi, yes. I'm Wendy Myers. Joining me tonight is Roberta Baldwin, the Director of Worcester County Social Services.
Good evening.
Good evening. So as you know, the Cricket Center is the Child Advocacy Center for Worcester County. We are the only Child Advocacy Center in Worcester County. So Child Advocacy, of course, refers to a group of professionals who speak out regarding child abuse in a community. We are a collaboration of the Department of Social Services and along with some other agencies that I'll talk to you about. But I want to tell you a little bit about the center. And I know you're all very familiar with the work we do because we are here in Berlin. And we certainly appreciate the town's support that you've given us historically. So we certainly do appreciate that. As a small nonprofit, we really depend on our community. So thank you. We certainly... our mission is to lessen the trauma of child abuse in our community. So our CAC, or Child Advocacy Center, is made up of law enforcement. We do have a Worcester Sheriff who is housed with us, a deputy. We also have Child Protective Services, which is Roberta's agency. Legal professionals. Our state's attorney's office is very supportive of our program, and we do have frequently a state's attorney is present for our interviews with our children. And then, of course, medical is provided by Atlantic General Hospital, and we are housed on the campus of Atlantic General. Mental health is provided by Life Crisis. And so we do partner with them as well, and they are housed with us. We provide on-site mental health, and we also have a family advocate, and she is also an employee of Life Crisis Center. So we work together as one unit to investigate, one multidisciplinary team to investigate and prosecute these crimes in our county. All the services that we provide are free to our clients and families. We never bill insurance. We never ask for a donation or charge a fee of any kind. So our mission is to provide hope and healing to child victims of abuse in the county. We are accredited by National Children's Alliance. NCA, National Children's Alliance, is the accrediting body for child advocacy centers in the country. We are one of two child advocacy centers that are fully accredited on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. Talbot County is the other. So there's our partnering agencies. The statistics change from year to year, and we know that the statistics only reflect what's reported, and certainly we know that many of these cases go unreported. But the latest statistics are 1 in 5 boys and 1 in 3 girls experience some form of sexual abuse before their 18th birthday. So we provide a forensic interview right at the Cricket Center, and they are provided by Roberta Baldwin's staff. We have 2 forensic interviewers who are specially trained to provide that interview. The medical exam, as I said, is provided by Atlantic General Hospital. There are 5 SAFE nurses on staff currently, and SAFE stands for Sexual Assault Forensic Examiner. Our family advocate services, our trauma-based therapy, our multidisciplinary team investigation. So we began in 2005 as a task force, and then we moved into our co-located center in 2009. In 2012, we became fully accredited for the first time, and then in 2015, we increased our services, and we began to provide therapy to victims of domestic violence locally. And that includes adults as well. So in 2016, the number of cases that we investigated of child sexual abuse and also acute physical abuse was 96 children. That was for 2016. And some of the stats that I have sent to you regarding 2016, some of them are calendar year and some of them are fiscal year. So if you're seeing 93, that's because the calendar year was a little different from the fiscal year, of course. But I just wanted to clarify that in case you saw that other statistic. And that's an error, my fault. That should say 2016. We provided 512 hours of trauma-based therapy. In 2016, the number of maltreaters we identified were 39. And then the number of individuals arrested using the ICAC, which is Internet Crimes Against Children, that's a program that we partner with the Worcester County Sheriff's Department, and I'm sure you've all heard of the great success of that program in Worcester. But 21 individuals were identified using child pornography or uploading, and in two cases, creating child pornography. Number of jail time sentenced in 2016 was 179 years for those offenders. So there's some immediate psychological effects from sexual abuse. Of course, suicide attempts, depression, isolation, fear. And then studies have found long-term that abused children are at least 25% more likely to experience problems in adolescence, including delinquency, teen pregnancy, drug use, low academic achievement. And then long-term, criminal behavior, involvement in violent crime, abuse of alcohol and other drugs, abusive behavior. So certainly, you know, the work that we do now and the services that we provide are providing a safer future for Worcester County. So this is a photo from our annual Walk the Boards for Kids. It's coming up, and I incidentally put a flyer in your packet. April 30th, it's a really fun day. It's all about prevention that day. It's a little bit of a fundraiser, but it's really about getting out, getting the word out about child abuse and you know, the work that we provide. And so it's a fun day. It's a great time to be on the boardwalk. And so certainly, if you're so inclined, we'd love to have you. And the month of April is Child Abuse Awareness Month. So, you know, we try to get out into the communities and provide some education. Also, I think I talked to you guys before about our annual Shop with a Cop. We partner with Maryland State Police for that. And that happens right here in Berlin and West Ocean City at the Walmart. And the Maryland State Police Barrack hosts that. And so that's a great interaction for at-risk youth here in the county. So over the years, your financial support has helped us to maintain our data tracking software, providing after-hours therapy, continuing our staff training, which is very important for our accreditation. Of course, you know, our staff has to be properly trained, and for our prevention efforts as well. So, for more information about abuse, please visit our website, or any questions about the program or the services we provide as well. You can find lots of answers there, and of course, we're always there. We can answer questions too. Anything I missed you would like to add?
No, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions
that you might have. I certainly would like to say on behalf of the team, we thank you for your support for these many years. And to be able to see, to be in the center and see a child enter the center and feel comfortable enough to tell a story about a very horrific experience that they've had, and to be able to see them leave and feel empowered is an amazing thing. And certainly the support that you offer to the agency helps us to continue to do that and help our community heal.
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. You talked about the support that we provide you on behalf of the town council and the citizens of Berlin and Worcester County in general. We would like to thank you. Thank you for the service that you provide to our children and keeping them safe, and a testament to your staff for a child feeling safe enough is, I bet, directly related to you and your staff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ever since you guys have been there, I've heard nothing but good comments by the Cricket Center. I think our police chief, he posts a lot of it.
We're all very proud, and we would love to extend, you know, an invitation to all of you to come and visit the center. Mr. Tyndall was recently took a very short tour. It doesn't take long.
It was very interesting to see. You guys have a lot of different rooms in there that try to help make everybody feel at home during such a hard time. So, and riding by and seeing those pinwheels, especially when you had on that the back of Ocean City, it really, really hits home seeing how many of us.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Next is Worcester County Commission on Aging. Robert Hart.
Thank you. Earlier this month, I sent a memo to Ms. Allen requesting to come talk to you about the senior center that we operate here in Berlin, which is called the Northern Worcester County Senior Center. We were requesting some funding to help us with our daily activities. The Worcester County Senior Center serves about 93 unduplicated seniors here in Berlin a month. In that, our mission statement is, if I can get my clicker right here.
That doesn't help you.
That's okay. I had it on a timer, yes. So our mission statement is to enhance the quality of life of all Worcester County citizens 50 years and older, providing programs and services that promote active and healthy lifestyles. That means that Berlin has 35% of their citizens that could be eligible to be in our senior center. We run several different programs. This is what we call a level one program. It is a program that we run that's based on seniors that are independent. And they actually all, level one programs operate over our senior centers. We have one in Berlin, one in Snow Hill, one in Ocean City, and one in Pocomo. In the Northern Worcester County Senior Center, the program we have there is called the MAC program. It's based out of funding we get out of Salisbury. We moved into that senior center in 2009 from the downtown Berlin Senior Center because of space. Space in the building, space in the parking lot. And with the county's help, we were able to go ahead and renovate an existing building and go ahead and turn it into a senior center. Our current staff there, we have one part-time staff member there. This year, we are requesting from the county additional funding to put a second full-time staff member there. We continue to see an increase in activities there. And the idea is that the volunteer level that we're seeing there will not hold up to what the activities are that we need. Right now, we have groups in there at night of 40 people on certain nights, and it's run by volunteers. But there's needs for other nights and other weekend activities, so we're asking the county for that money. Basically, the county funds the complete operating cost for the senior center. This year, we're requesting $110,000 for that for the Berlin Senior or the Northern Worcester County Senior Center. Last year, it was right around $90,000. So we are asking for an increase for that because of the opportunities we're seeing. We are trying to be accredited through the National Commission on Aging. We have turned in the materials. There is one accredited senior center in the state of Maryland right now. It's Bowie. We're trying to accredit all four senior centers here in Worcester County. Northern Worcester County will be the first one we're pushing through. We're hoping by the end of summer we'll have that accredited. We're hoping that's going to attract new funding possibly for the senior center. And really what it does is I came from a my previous job was in transportation, and there was a lot of benchmarks for how we did. And in the senior services, I cannot find the benchmark. So this was as close as I could to find out how are we doing compared to senior center throughout the United States. So we wanted to go through that process. Some of the stats is basically over the last year or so, we've seen about 193 unduplicated seniors come through that senior center. And we serviced, there's about 21,000 services we did for them. This is just in the senior center activity range. This is not all the services the Worcester County Commission on Aging also does, which is a nonprofit that oversees the senior center. By far, it's the most active senior center we have at this point. As you can see in this slide here, the unduplicated number of seniors coming in there is much higher than the other three senior centers here in the county. Wednesdays, the parking lot's full. You can't get anybody else in that building, probably by fire code. So we keep that kind of busy. Tuesday nights, it seems to be the same way most of the time. We have a level two program, we call, that we're hoping to bring it to the Northern Worcester County Senior Center. It's called Senior Center Plus. It's for people that may need a little more help when they're there, but they don't need medical help. So if they need help maybe eating or going to the restroom or something, we would have a trained CNA there to help them out so that they have somewhere to go. We have one of those programs currently in Snow Hill, and we have several people in that, but the people that we have in that program in Snow Hill is from the northern end of the county. So it would certainly help their families to have something closer to them. So that's the level two program. Our level three program is our adult daycare program. Currently, that's based in Snow Hill. We're licensed for 60 people. It's a medical daycare program. It's probably the most beneficial program we do for the county taxpayers. We get paid $72 a day to take care of most of the people who are there, where the nursing homes are making $250 to $300 a day. So if we can keep them out of the nursing homes, we're saving taxpayers dollars as far as the Medicaid program. We've had people in that daycare program for over 15 years. I can't tell you how much money that is off the top of my head, but that's a lot of money that's been saved. So we're real happy we can continue to do that program. I'm all over the place now. Okay. I'll just tell you a little more about the other program. I'll put this thing down. I'll tell you a little more things about the programs. I don't want to drive you all crazy. The Worcester County Commission on Aging is the basically the parent of these senior centers. We've been in existence since about 1978. We are a nonprofit. We oversee all the county senior programming. We partner with the Department of Social Services. Roberta Baldwin, and Debbie Geller at the Health Department to run a unit called the Maryland Access Point Unit. What that is a, basically a one-stop call shop. If someone in the Berlin area needs a, is a senior and they have a need, they can call that number, and there's going to be someone at that office that's going to be able to help them. They're not going to say, call the town of Berlin. They're not going to say, you know, call this number. They're going to help them there. We have two great intake workers that can usually handle the problems, and if they, for some reason, need to have more work done on the case, they'll shift them off to another worker there in that unit. We're real happy with that. We're one of the models for the state in that program. We also do the Meals on Wheels program, as some of you may be familiar with. We are based out of Snow Hill for the southern end and out of northern Worcester County here for the north end. We do 25 to 30 meals a day out of here. We cover the whole county of Worcester. That's not always the case in the state of Maryland. Sometimes they split the counties up into certain days of the week. We cover them 4 days a week, Monday through Friday. We deliver a warm meal to the seniors. That's very important, not just for the meal. Two times this year, our drivers have came across people that were laying in their kitchen floors that we had to call 911 for. And without us calling 911, at least one of them didn't have any family members. We don't know how long they would have been there. Both seniors were okay. Great situation. But it was that friendly visit that we provide with that Meals on Wheels that became very important to them. With that, there's a bunch of other programs we do. We do energy assistance for seniors. I like to think that we're the front line for the seniors. Because if they have an issue, they can call us, and we're going to be able to answer that, even on the weekends. Unfortunately, my phone number is on the website, and I get those calls. But we are able to help them, because we get a lot of calls from out of the north end from Ocean Pines, of course. I had one this weekend where a lady went to the website, texted me from the website that her mother just could no longer live by herself, and she didn't know how to handle it. So I made a call this weekend to her, talked to her, took the case back today, and we're helping her now find the resources she needs to try to keep her mother safe in her home in Ocean Pines instead of having to worry about coming out of Baltimore all the time to take care of her. So that's the kind of stuff we do. So again, we wanted to come to you and ask you for that funding, $2,500. It's directly to the senior activities. It has nothing to do with operations, administration, or anything. It's for their coffee in the morning, their games they play, the new bingo boards. You never know how many bingo boards are going to go through in a year's time. That's why we're requesting that. So any questions?
No, I know you pretty well run a real good program there. I have a relative that's 90, in her 90s, and she, up until a few months ago, she was driving there every time that's there. Okay. She's planning to renew her license this year.
Yeah, we have quite a few drivers. It's really changed. I've been with the commission for 11 years, and it's really changed. We used to bus a lot of people in, and now we actually see more seniors driving in than we bus in anymore. So that's kind of interesting how that's working out that way.
I know I'm a little below your age threshold, but
wow,
how anyway, that problem. No, for requirement to get into the senior center. But I would love to have a tour sometime. I've always driven by the building, but I've never been in.
Absolutely.
And also, thank you for the service that you provide. Sometimes the seniors do get forgotten, so this is nice to see.
Well, thank
especially
you.
Especially here in our town.
Thank you very
much. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Robert. The council's going to have its general fund work session on the 17th, and then we're in the budget process, so your request is timely.
Okay.
And we'll fold it into the mix.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, number three, resolution 2017-08.
03, sorry.
Oh, you changed that.
Yes. 2017-03,
okay.
Sure. So 2017-03 resolution prohibits truck traffic on Baker Street. This is the first reading by town code. We need to adopt this by resolution if the council is interested in removing truck traffic on Baker Street. You have your own. You can't hear me. Okay. Let's try that. So the process that's outlined in the town code requires the council adopt this by resolution after a public hearing that's been duly noticed. So this would be the first reading of this resolution. And I'll ask the town attorney if he's going to want me to read the entire resolution.
You don't
know. Okay, that's great. So essentially, this resolution, if approved by the mayor and council, would limit truck traffic on Baker Street. It defines a truck as a vehicle regardless of the number of axles thereon with a gross weight exceeding 1 ton, but excludes such trucks from the prohibition if a truck is making a delivery to a business or residence located on the prohibited street. So in other words, trucks could not use Baker Street to travel through Baker Street, but could make deliveries to the folks that live on Baker Street, even with this resolution in place. So tonight would be the first reading of the resolution. The staff will be advertising the public hearing, which is set for the 24th of April in this room at 7 p.m. And I'm available to answer any questions that the council might have.
Of course. But I think this might be a Dave question,
okay.
If that's okay with you.
Sure.
On the second paragraph, Dave, you've got it defines any truck or vehicle, regardless of the number of axles, the gross vehicle weight exceeding 1 ton. I don't know one car that doesn't exceed 1 ton. My pickup is 3.5 tons.
Mr. Goyes, this is what that's direct wording taken from our code. That's what our code provides.
Then we got something wrong.
That's what the code section says.
How would you interpret that then?
1 ton.
I think we have a problem.
Okay. So how do we address this problem? How do we fix this?
Well, we'd have to amend the ordinance, which we can.
Can we amend the code, then the ordinance?
This is not an ordinance. It's a resolution.
Resolution.
I can draft an amendment to the ordinance, which is where this language came from.
Okay.
But I would need some guidance from the council. As to what the weight should be.
I mean, I'm thinking like an F-150 is considered a half ton. Three feet.
No. How much it weighs, not how much it carries. This is going on how much it weighs. I went to the Maryland Motor Vehicle website today and I scoured for this. It's to how much it weighs.
Gotcha.
That's how this is written, unfortunately. I could find two cars that fit underneath the ton. The average weight of the vehicle in 2012 was almost 4,000 pounds. That's 2 tons. So we've got to fix something somewhere. I'm just not sure what. And you would know more about road beds and stuff. I mean, it should be 10,000 pounds. I mean, what should it be?
Yeah, I've always gone by, I always figure like a 1,500 Chevy was a half-ton truck, even though it weighed 3,000 pounds. Mm. You know, that's what, just off the top of my head, I have no idea legally. Mm-hmm. That.
Well, let me, I'm looking at our ordinance, section 32-21. Truck means any vehicle, regardless of the number of axles thereon, with a gross weight exceeding 1 ton, period. That's what our code says.
So let me just ask a question, David. So if this were to be approved as it's written, would cars still be able to travel on Baker Street, so the residents would be able to drive their cars to and from their homes?
It exceeds 1 ton, according to our code, it's a truck.
But the way the resolution is designed to be written is the truck can't travel through Baker Street, but it could make deliveries to homes that are on Baker Street.
We could amend the resolution to include only commercial truck vehicles. And then we wouldn't have to change anything.
What is the process to change what is in there?
Getting on a computer and changing the word.
And then we would have the advertisement and stuff. I would feel more comfortable making that change and then this, as opposed to doing the resolution and then going back to the code or the charter.
So changing it to commercial truck would address your concern, Councilmember Lewis?
No. changing the code as a whole, and then moving forward from there.
Okay.
Good.
David? That'll be fine. So you're going to withdraw this resolution?
Sounds like we'd have to start from
and
scratch.
And we'll amend the code.
Okay. So then there would be a first reading on the 24th.
I'll get working on that tomorrow.
I just don't want the fish giving me a ticket when I drive my truck down.
Okay, so resolution.
Thank you.
Could we, just for the benefit of the public, many of whom I think are here, Baker Street, talk a little bit about the time frame that it would take to amend the code, and would we be able to get this back in front of the council?
It could. The amendment could be introduced for first reading at our next meeting, and then could be enacted by the council. The following meeting, which would be the first meeting in May.
Mm-hmm. To change the ordinance?
Yes.
Okay. And then the resolution would need to be presented again?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then a public hearing on that resolution?
Yes.
Do you need a motion on that, or are you just going to go ahead and do that?
I'll just do it.
Okay.
So resolution 2017-03 will be read again on the...
No, it'll be withdrawn.
Withdrawn.
But it'll be brought back to our first meeting in May?
It would depend on how quickly we can move through the ordinance
and meet in the
change
May.
Process.
I'll have it done tomorrow, too.
That's
great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on.
All right.
So the next item you have on your agenda is a motion of the Mayor and Council 2017-15, which requests the approval of a contract with Davis, Bowen, Fridell to make some improvements on Baker Street. And Rob Duma from Davis, Bowen, Fridell is here if you have any technical questions. Kelsey, can you activate the PowerPoint? So essentially, this is the current existing condition of Baker Street. If you could go to the next slide. Then this is actually what we're proposing. So the total project that we estimate will cost somewhere between $120,000 to $130,000 to pave the sides of Baker Street, leaving the concrete part in the middle. Can you go to the next one? This is the same existing conditions from a different angle. Next slide, please. So this is what it would look like ultimately with the sides repaved. And then I think there's another series of existing condition, and then I think this is the last slide. So the project would involve hiring Davis, Bowen, and Fridell. What you have in front of you right now is a request offer as a contract to be able to do the initial design work as well as the plans and put the project out to bid for a total of $20,000. The idea is that we would activate this contract this fiscal year with an eye towards actually constructing the project in next fiscal year. And as we move through the budget process, we have money that we've placed in 2018's budget for the construction. So what we're asking the council to do tonight is to approve this contract for $20,000. So that Davis Bowen and Fridell can go ahead and put the design together and bid the project out, and we'd be ready to begin construction after the first of July.
Well, what happens with the concrete section of the street?
Excellent question. I'm glad you brought that up. Part of the project would involve repairs, as you can see from the slide, repairs to the center concrete part. But one of the challenges we have with that concrete portion is it has oyster shells embedded in it. And so I've asked Davis, Bowen, and Fridell to see if they can find somebody who does this kind of work with the cement and the oyster shell mix. And if not, somebody at least who's got some sensitivity around the historic aspects of that center portion, and it can handle it with what I call a little TLC when they do the repair.
So you talked about 130,000.
About 120 to 130,000.
So that includes the asphalt,
yes,
and
sir.
The
yes, sir.
Okay.
So the cement part in the center is not going to be taken up. We're going to try to overlap it.
We're just going
to.
We're not going to overlap it. We're going to repair it.
Yeah. Repair it. Okay.
Right. So you can. It's kind of hard. Maybe Kelsey goes back a few slides. So you can kind of see here. You've got some lines where it's cracked open and there's grass growing. The idea is that the contractor would be in there making the repair in such a way that grass wouldn't grow and it would look a little more consistent. Again, the challenge is finding somebody who does that kind of work with the cement oyster shell mix, which I don't think is a current technique, but we'll look into it.
And the public has been made aware that that is the reason we're trying to maintain the integrity of that concrete portion. That's why we're trying to restrict some access on that road so it doesn't degrade further after we make the repair.
There were some residents from Baker Street at the Historic District Commission meeting last week, and I mentioned this was going to be on the agenda along with the resolution prohibiting truck traffic. So I think there's a few folks in the audience from that meeting.
Can we just say who's from Baker Street?
I'm not sure they can hear too.
Anyone here from Baker Street, raise your hand.
Awesome. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say about this that resides on Baker Street?
Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
I don't reside on Baker Street, but I'm here to help support them.
Okay.
My name is Robert Poley. I live on South Main Street. And this couple was at our Historic District Commission meeting last week. And I want to thank the mayor for recommending me to be on the board and all of you who voted me in. We hear a lot of cases about, you know, people put applications to restore their homes. And basically our function is only on the facade of the home, generally the curb appeal site. Interior of the homes we're not required to comment on. However, I had an idea after last week's meeting, like if private residences or even people who own commercial buildings in town within the historic district, and there are some side streets like Pitt Street, a section of Pitt Street, all of Commerce Street, maybe a small piece of Palatine Avenue. And Palatine Avenue, if I remember correctly, back in the late 90s when we first started coming down here, had the concrete layout pretty much like Baker Street. And that's basically historic kind of pavement because it was done many, many years ago. And I came up with an idea. It's like these side streets which belong to the which is part of the historic district, I think, I'm not trying to be facetious or anything, but if private residences and commercial buildings have to put in a request, an application in, for changes in their facade because it's promoting the historic district of our town, I think the public property of the town within the historic district should also put applications in to get our recommendation to see what we can do with these streets before it comes to your board. So it's just, you know, because that's part of the historic nature of the town. And because I know, even if we're putting like lampposts up or anything like that, it would be nice if the Historic Commission got an idea and got their views on to see if it helped maintain the historic nature of the historic district of town. And basically that's why I'm here, to help to support them. And you know, you got the Taylor House Museum at the north end of the historic district, and that's a nice way, it's a presentation into the historic district of the town. And then you, of course, you got the centerpiece, the Atlantic Hotel, which is the main attraction. Otherwise, without the Atlantic Hotel, there really wouldn't be much of a historic district at all in Berlin. And that's what attracts most of the tourism here. You know, and as the town continues to grow, area-wise, the historic district effects get smaller and smaller and smaller because the town's going to become sprawling eventually. And it's inevitable. There's been so many annexations in this town over the years that there's not going to be much of a historic district for people to come in. They're just building and building and building. So if we want to keep a historic district and have people attracted to the area, we have to try to maintain it that way. That's a beautiful street. That's old concrete with shells in it. I would like to see that whole thing expanded right to the curbs, because the blacktop's going to have to be replaced every few years because it's going to crack, weeds are going to go through, and everything else. That doesn't happen with concrete. And if the town can consider something like this, I know it's going to cost more money. Concrete work is always a lot more than the cabin. But it's something to consider.
Thank you.
Hold on one second. I think Laura did some research into trying to figure out what that would take to be able to redo that in the oyster shells.
I told the Historic District Commission and Mr. Fuller this last week that we figure it's probably about twice. So the project would be about $120 to $130, without expanding the cement that Mr. Foley's suggesting would basically double the cost of the project. And again, I don't believe, and I'll defer to Rob, would know for sure, I don't believe that there's anybody that does the kind of cement work with razor shells in it.
No, it's difficult to match dissimilar concrete materials poured at different times. That would be very difficult. And like you said, it's at least double the cost. And that's more or less standard concrete. Could be triple if you're talking custom-made oyster.
And then can you just speak for a second, Rob, to the amount of time that the paving on the side, what's the duration for that asphalt?
The time? This is
like 10 to 15 years?
Oh, yeah. The life of asphalt? Yeah. With a good subgrade, which we plan to put in. These side roads, the subgrades were never really adequate for the traffic that's driving on it. So with the subgrade we plan to put in, you'll at least see 10 years before you'll need to even look at it, 15 to 20. It would be my guess.
And we also, just so that everybody's aware, we also pursued Mary to see if there were any grant opportunities available for doing something like this with the historic significance of the street, and there were none, correct?
It wasn't as much a matter of there were none, but the conditions that we would have to meet in order to qualify for the grants would take the project so far away from repairing a street that it just became completely ineffective cost-wise.
Thank you. That was my only question.
Yes.
We have a business at the end of Baker Street, and I had a question about the second on John Taylor.
Okay.
The second paragraph, it said it would exclude trucks making delivery to a business. Would that include our business, Berlin and Farm Supply?
It would, yes. Mm-hmm. It would exclude the, yeah, if you had a commercial vehicle was coming to your property on Baker Street, that would be excluded from the prohibition of trucks going up and down the street.
One other thing you might want to consider, the intersection of West Street and Broad Street, large trucks cannot make that turn.
Right.
So
We're aware of that.
Thank you, sir.
Let's just make sure we understand that the resolution, as it appears in the packet, has been withdrawn and will likely be modified before you see it again.
Okay.
Suzanne Parks, resident over at Baker Street. I just wanted to give a little bit of start. I know you all remember Mary Humphreys. Who was born on that street. And where the blacktop is, well, she said she remembered when it was dirt. And then it was paved with the concrete. And where this blacktop is was lined with trees. And as the vehicles got wider, they had to widen the street. So that's why the blacktop's there.
Makes sense.
Another thing, we've lived on the street for 40 years. There has not been any maintenance done on that street since we've been there.
We have a lot of streets in town that maintenance hasn't been done for years, but we've got a list that we're working on trying to repair these streets. And Baker Street is on that list.
I hope so.
It's been on that list.
It's at the top of the list now.
Get to the top.
It is Baker Street's turn.
Anybody else?
Todd DeHart, I'm a resident on Baker Street, 6 Baker Street, Mary Humphreys' old house. And I just want to show appreciation for the fact that the mayor and council is looking into doing something that is, I think, very obviously needed, and looking forward to what you guys come up with in terms of helping to preserve the historical look and curb appeal and all the wonderful things about the street that represents the town, and also to do what needs to be done to help curb and keep the style of life on that street, which is has been quiet for the 5 years that we've been there, for that to continue as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
If any of the residents that live on that street have any suggestions between now and then, just come up and let us know. Been a long time coming, so we want to make sure we get it right for the residents. Okay.
Do you need a motion? I'll make the motion that we move forward with the $20,000 construction phase services from Davis, Bowen, and Friedel.
Second. Okay, it's been properly moved. Is it second?
Second.
Second that we approve the design $20,000 for Baker Street. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes.
Thank you.
4-0. Okay, the next one is, you want to take that one too?
Yes.
Can you help
me, Bud? I am.
No, the next one is 20-7-16.
Great. The dedication for Pinnell Crossing Community Association. I'm going to ask Ruby Hamilton to come forward. Ruby is the president of the Pinnell Crossing Homeowners Association. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm here tonight to dedicate the streets of Pinnell Crossing on behalf of Pinnell Crossing Community Association to the town of Berlin.
So in your packet, you have a deed of dedication that's been reviewed and approved by the town attorney. You also have a letter from Davis Woman Cadell, essentially saying that the project is complete, the road meets town standards, everything has been addressed, and that the project bond that we have for $60,000 can be reduced to zero. So what we're recommending is that the council approve the deed of dedication between Pinnell Crossing Community Association, the Maryland Corporation, and the mayor and the council of town of Berlin, and reducing the bond for this project to zero.
Now, does the deed of dedication include like the signage for the development or anything like that, or that's still the responsibility of the...
My understanding is we are taking on the responsibility of the roadway itself.
Okay. Not signed. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
Motion to approve that.
So motion of the mayor and council of the town of Berlin approving the deed of dedication between Pinnell Crossing Community Association Incorporated and Maryland Corporation and the mayor and council of Berlin and reducing the bond for this project to zero. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you.
Motion passes.
You did great.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to number 6, Community Development Block Grant. To Mary Grove.
The 5 items included under this motion to approve are essentially housekeeping items. They are plans and one proclamation that we are required to pass the proclamation annually, 2 of the plans every 3 years, and 2 of the plans every 5 years. They essentially indicate the town's agreement to adhering to certain aspects of civil rights law and recognition of the work that Community Development Block Grant is dedicated to. Again, they are more or less housekeeping items. You have seen and passed all of these before, and you will see them again.
That makes us eligible to be able to...
It helps us. It maintains our eligibility. Without these items in place, we would not be eligible to apply for block grant funding.
Move to approve.
Okay. The second?
I'll second.
Okay. We got a motion to approve the Community Development Block Grant. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? A motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, number 7, Proclamation 2017-9, Proclamation of the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin recognizing the week of April 22nd through the 29th, 2017 as Take Pride in Berlin Week.
Again, this is an annual proclamation. I think this is the 4th year that we have actually officially recognized Take Pride in Berlin Week. This year it begins on April 22nd and lasts through April 29th. It will kick off with cleanup day on the 22nd, and throughout the week we encourage folks to basically do whatever they feel is appropriate to indicate their pride in living in this community. This year, Ivy has helped kick this up a notch. We will have yellow I Have Pride in Berlin wristbands that we'll start giving out on cleanup day. They'll be available at Town Hall and at the Welcome Center throughout the week. And certain merchants, restaurants, and retail are offering discounts or different incentives if you come in wearing your I Have Pride in Berlin bracelet.
And the hashtag.
I have forgotten what that is. If you were using
for that week, we're going to create a hashtag. I think it's Veteran Berlin. So you upload your photo, you wearing something that says Berlin or helping your neighbor out, cleaning up, anything proactive that you're doing in the community, upload your photo. I need to create the event for it. Either upload it on Instagram or Facebook using that hashtag, and everyone who does will get entered into a raffle to win some really great prizes.
How's it better, Berlin?
Better in Berlin.
Better in Berlin.
Better in Berlin.
Better in Berlin.
Thank you, Ivy. Mm-hmm.
But it's only for that week.
Uh-huh. Sounds good. Anything else on that?
We just need a motion for the proclamation.
So moved.
Okay, so properly moved and second. That proclamation 2017-9 to approve. A motion.
So moved and second.
That's what I'm saying. Properly moved and second that the proclamation 2017-9 be approved. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion stands approved. Okay, departmental reports. Natalie, Finance Director.
Good evening, everyone. We're still working on the budget. We have submitted, Laura and I have submitted you the reports for review. Just a reminder that next Monday at 5:30 we will have a work session for general fund here. Meanwhile, we're going through the utility accounts, and we kind of started a little project between the electric department and the customer service department. We're reviewing the inventory for metering. So if you see a crew member on the property outside of the regular meter readings, it's just because they're checking on the meter numbers. Just kind of information. So after that, information collected from physical locations, we're basically going in the system and taking it off by verifying the number, make sure everything is correct. After electric is finished, we're going to move to water meters. It's probably going to take a month, but that will ensure that the meters outside correctly, properly matching the meters in the power system. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Administrative Service Director. Very
welcome. Basically, two things this evening. Right now, the National Recreation and Parks Association is running a nationwide contest. We're very familiar with these contests in Berlin, where you go to a certain website and you click to support your town. This one will award the winning community $20,000 to use for park improvements. And the website for that contest, we have it listed on our Facebook page, and it's gone out to newspapers, it's on the town webpage, but the website is meetmeattheparkpark.org. So we're asking everybody, obviously, every day to go and visit that website and nominate Berlin to win. April 22nd is cleanup day, as I mentioned a little earlier. I have beautiful green yard signs just waiting for homes to go to. I've left several up there for the council members to take with them this evening. And I do need just anyone who's willing to put one in their yard to let me know. Registration will be at both parks, Stephen Decatur and Henry Park, starting at 8:30 on Saturday the 22nd. We will be having a kids craft at 11 o'clock, a free kids activity. And there will be students from Salisbury University there presenting information about green initiatives. They met actually here 2 or 3 weeks ago with several members of staff and discussed a number of items. And then they're coming back on cleanup day to sort of present those items to the public and get public feedback. So it's going to be a big day for us. So I look forward to seeing everyone there.
Okay, that's good. Okay, electric department, Tim Lawrence.
Good evening. I have a few things to report on. I'm sure you're well aware that the two ponds over at Berlin Falls Park were tested. We actually had to help the company basically launch a boat into the ponds and take it back out for them when they were finished, so we helped them do that. Over at the power plant, Maryland Department of Environment did their fuel tank inspection on our three 10,000-gallon fuel tanks, and they all passed, so that turned out well. And also, at the power plant, the number 5 breaker, which was the breaker that was manufactured in 1949, is scheduled for replacement starting Monday, next Monday the 17th. That engine is going to be down for approximately 2 weeks during that brake replacement. There's a lot that goes into it. There's relays that have to be installed and programmed. And they said it'll take them, you know, about a week to get it replaced, and then you have all the programming and the relay system that goes along with it, which by that time will definitely be up and running for peak season. So we should be finished by the beginning of May. On that. And then also down on West Street where Goody Hill is doing the installation of the new storm pipe through there, they ran into a couple of issues with this existing electrical services. Basically, I guess they went to a larger pipe. Well, what happened there is the services kind of ended up in the middle of the pipe because of the pipe is bigger around. So we're having to help relocate their services to get around the storm pipe, which we're working on that. And then Intrepid Lane, that's where the new townhouses are being built. The first slab on the right as you're going in, that's been poured. So there, you know, we're going to be putting the service into that very soon. One last thing I wanted to talk about was this meter inventory that we're doing for the town. This is going to help with two different things. It's giving us an accurate record of what actual meters are in the system and where they're located, the addresses. But it's also letting us know what type of meters we have. We have a lot of the old dial type meters that are out there, which are mechanical. But over a period of time, anything that's mechanical slows down as far as reading because it's starting to wear out. So we're looking at a point, you know, to phase the dial meters out to get digital type meters. So by doing this inventory, it's given us an exact count on how many dial meters we have in the system. So at some point, we'll be phasing those out. And then also, it's telling us if we have issues with like a meter base that's falling off the house or, you know, trees growing up in front of that type of thing, where we have to take care of that issue.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. Next is Lieutenant
Fisher. I guess one thing we saw in your report, Sergeant O'Connor was awarded the Officer of the Year award by the Officer Club last week. So we're pretty happy about that. And then I guess I'll have a few comments on events. I'm going to wait until Ivy does hers, and then I'll try to defer.
Okay. Sounds good. Next is our planning department, Dave Lindhart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Really, just briefly, this Wednesday on the 12th, Wednesday evening, Planning Commission has three different site plan approval applications before them. One for the Shoreline Auto, it's a used car lot that used to exist next to Arby's, and they're going to replace it with a new building right next to Arby's, a little further west, but it's the same distance back. The second one is an additional building up at the medical office complex up on North Main Street, the Berlin Main Place. They had been previously approved for future buildings, and this is the next one in line for the owners of that plaza. That will be a shell building. You'll wait for the proper tenant and then fit out the inside. And the third application is from the Burley Oak Brewery for alterations and additions at their on Old Ocean City Boulevard, their facility there. That's an addition of the two buildings that are on the site will be joined by an outdoor stage or performing platform, and it'll join the two buildings together, and then some additional outdoor seating area for the good weather. So those are the three cases we'll have Wednesday night for a site plan approval. The Historic District Commission, as you heard, they met last Wednesday. They approved lighting at the Berlin Butcher Shop for the sign. They approved exterior lighting for what will be the Island Creamery on Main Street, and also signage and a facade for what used to be the Berlin Shoebox, that building. The new owner is going to, you know, clean that, the exterior of it up and paint it to the new signage. So those are the three cases that the Historic Commission approved last Wednesday. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a date when the creamery is scheduled to open? Or maybe Ivy does?
Any day.
Dustin?
Is that part of your report?
That you know what? Out here. Just to prove it that it is right here, right? I wrote it.
Next week.
Oh, we're thunder.
I wanted to know for Dean, not for myself.
So the Island Creamery is probably, hopefully, opening for Spring Celebration, which is
Saturday.
So probably not for Spring Celebration. I got my weeks mixed up. So hopefully for next week, it'll be open. The gentleman is the contractor still working on the rest of the concrete. But Kelly said that they are ready to go on the inside. They need a certificate of occupancy, and then they can open. So if they open this Saturday, then it's just a bonus. How's that? Also, Salvage, House by Salvage, had their grand opening, so they are open by Go Organics. They are doing extremely well, better than they thought they were going to be doing at this point in time. So if you have anything that you want to get painted, make sure that you call them and they can paint that stuff for you, paint your furniture for you. I am working on some new history and map displays for both the Welcome Center and for out on the street to help people navigate around town a little bit better. So just wanted to let you know that that is coming down the pike. Also, I'm working with the Salisbury University students on a recycling campaign that encourages people to walk around with their bags, Berlin bags that we're going to create. And the logos on the bags will actually, those shops will get a discount if you walk into the shop with your bag. We're going to try to tackle Food Lion, maybe do a campaign where we hand out bags to the shoppers at Food Lion. I don't think we're going to get Food Lion to discontinue their plastic bags, but at least we can make an effort. And then also, Spring Celebration is this Saturday, 10 to 5. And then the other thing I'd like to announce before we get into our security procedures is I frequent Berlin Falls Park often, and this past weekend there are a lot of nesting geese. So I'm thinking of maybe working with David on some nesting signs, and Dave and Jim figure out what is happening, especially with the painted turtles and the geese, to make sure that when it is nesting season that we put some signs up to let people know that, hey, you know, stay away from this particular area. Yes? No? Yes.
Sounds good.
That's all I have. Oh, no, sorry.
That's not quite.
Okay. So I've been working with Lieutenant Fisher on security procedures for the alcohol events in Berlin per Council Member Boyes's suggestion. And what we have come up with, we have a list here that I'm just going to read verbatim. Before each alcohol event, yard signs will be placed around town to notify patrons that no outside alcohol will be allowed into the event area. And the reason that I think this is a good idea to have in here is because once you reach the where the event is, you see the no alcohol allowed signs in, but what if you brought that from your car or from your house and people just kind of sneak it in, or I don't know how they're getting it in, but if they were alerted out where the parking is or around the certain neighborhoods with signs, and they'll know, hey, you were warned 3 blocks ago that you can't bring alcohol downtown for the event. Just as everyone should already know that, but maybe just an extra signs would help. And then also, no outside alcohol should be included, verbiage should be included on all advertising and posters. I think that's also important to have that clause. Police will increase security at entry locations. Police will move about the event area to ensure safety, and police will monitor the perimeter. And that's it.
I'm not going to have any more people working it, just because we don't have the manpower, but I can, instead of just standing downtown with everybody else, you know, we can spread out more on the outside where the kids are trying to reach the area.
It's
trying to focus more on that than the people downtown having their, I mean, the bigger things are going to be, the New Year's Eve, we're always going to have extra people, Christmas parade, but spring celebration, you're probably only going to get one extra person. You know, for the event. You know, the road person can come in, he can go on the outside without having to get out and come in. So it focuses a little bit more.
When is our next event that contains alcohol? I mean, or any event that contains alcohol?
Jazz and Blues, June 6th, I believe.
Mayday Playday?
Oh, no, right, Mayday Playday.
Mayday Playday.
May 19th, I think.
May 19th. It is a great start, and thank you for working on this.
Okay. Mr. Jeff.
I have nothing to report.
Okay. Town administrator's report.
So I have some exciting news. We had 12 roadway patches that were dug out and paved today. These were the accumulated small paving jobs that I've heard so much about these last couple of months. So we got those taken care of. Thank you so much to Jamie Latcham and his crew for making that happen. It was like our own little, like, you know, Popolapalooza kind of thing going on. And Goody Hill put in, we mentioned West Street Project, Goody Hill put in about 100 feet of storm drain in that culvert project today. So the good weather is really holding out and making that project move pretty quickly. And that's pretty much it for me tonight. Thank you.
We're good. Well, the mayor's not here, so I'm not going to take his place because I don't have anything to bring up. So I'll start with the council.
Hi, sir. I have one thing. I attended the Worcester County Public Health Conference last week in Ocean City. And during that presentation, Clay Stamp, he's been assigned to the governor's opiate task force, kind of laid out the governor's plan for the battle against the opiates here in Worcester County and the state as a whole. And Jack Orris also was kind enough to bring the Worcester County heroin opiate community response plan for all the council members. So after the meeting, we'll be able to hand those out to you. That's all I have.
All right.
I just have one thing. Councilman, were you able to?
I am.
The wetlands that were created in back of the multi-purpose building, defense is only on three sides. And I'd like to ask the council to consider, if it's not design prohibitive, to consider fits in the entire project. I was out there, it was a day after it had rained and the sun was out, and I got some pictures of some children standing across the ditch, looking like they were anticipating or...
It's an attraction.
yes.
Got it.
It really would be attractive to children to try that water. So if we could fence that last side and just offer that much more of a deterrent, I think it would be worth our while.
I see the safety issue. I like an opportunity to talk to Jane, who's not here tonight, to make sure that whatever fencing we do is done in such a way that it doesn't create a problem for the drainage of the project and any kind of trash or anything that might be filtering out of it. I get the safety issue. I just want to make sure we can do it in a way that fits and meets the needs of that particular project in the way that the water needs to flow.
Okay.
So if I can have a little time to look into that and then get back to you.
I sure would appreciate it very much. Thanks, girls.
Sorry. We'll work on our rotating. Yeah, it's too bad when she enlarges it, it goes to the side.
Okay,
I'm good.
Comments from the public? Yes.
Suzanne Parks, Baker Street. The town has put speed limit signs on Baker Street, 25 miles per hour. We have cars going down there 45 and 50 miles per hour. And how they think they're going to get stopped when it's only this block long, I don't know. But I think it has to be monitored something.
Thanks for that information. Mr. Parks.
Good evening, Doug Parks. Gentlemen, we thank you for your attention to Baker Street. I'm sure you're aware that the problem with Baker Street was accentuated by the closing of the street that it joins. And this is in the council's hands. You definitely need to take steps to open Harrison Street. It's a major thoroughfare. It needs to be opened. And you have all the tools you need to do it.
We're working towards that problem, solving that problem. Okay, press. Nothing from the press.
We got one left. Two.
Move to adjourn.
Thank you for coming.
Please don't forget your signs.
Got it. Thank you very much. And Jack has those opiates.
Yeah.